You're back listening to Green Left Radio here live from the 3CR studios, and we're also joined by Zane as a third presenter, also a musician. So many musicians.
Not as active these days, but in the past, got around it a bit. Yes, fashionable lateness. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah. And well, we're really happy to have Dr. Shadi on the line. Dr. Shadi has spent 8 years working in Victorian public hospitals, now working in a Melbourne community health centre. They're an activist involved in the campaign against the closure of CoHealth and a member of Victorian Socialists. Welcome, Shadi.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's really good to have you on the show, Shadi. Listeners might be aware, or maybe they haven't been, some might not have been following this, but CoHealth had previously announced it would be shutting 3 of its Melbourne clinics in December due to funding issues. Shadi, can you give us an update on what is happening now with this campaign?
We woke up yesterday to very exciting news. The Labor government at a federal level has stepped in to give us a $1.5 million cash injection to keep the GP services open until mid-2026 while a review is undertaken. Huge victory for the community level. Certainly the 12,500 patients who are about to lose access to GP services and primary care, who were, fearful for their lives, very, very grateful for that news, and certainly hard won. I mean, it was, people should feel very proud. The campaign was really active, angry, organised. Hundreds of people fought for this over the last 3 weeks. It certainly didn't happen passively, but not a total victory. Importantly, still the pharmacy services are slated to close on December 19, and CoHealth have still announced that counselling services across all 3 sites are still planning to close on December 19. So certainly more questions up in the air and more things that we want to be organising around, but huge win for the community for sure.
Well, here at 3CR and Green Left, we really want to congratulate you and everyone in the community that has really built that community pressure over the last few weeks or even months, maybe, for this reprieve for CoHealth services and forcing the government to act. Shadi, could you maybe, you did touch on it, but would you be able to just explain what the reprieve would mean for CoHealth community health centres, and also the importance of, where to now for this campaign as well?
What it means is that the closure of the GP services is on pause until July 2026, while a review is undertaken. I think it's important. There's a couple of layers to, the way that we have to organise from here on out, because certainly the pause doesn't mean a commitment to keeping the GP services open next year. It's not sort of a commitment to maintaining the community health model long term. So it's possible that Labor is just sort of buying time to sort of hose down the justifiable anger that has been putting pressure on them for the last few weeks. And so it's really important for us to make sure that that review has got sort of the appropriate scope of practice. It's not just looking at sort of funding from CoHealth, but is looking at sort of holistically what the services are providing and the impact of that, and as well as that review being really public. In the immediate term as well, we're still organising around the closure of the pharmacy and the counselling services. The methadone program, there's an integrated methadone program run through CoHealth, and that is dispensed through the pharmacy, and so certainly a cut to that integrated program will mean that a lot of people who rely on that service will lose access. And, you know, we all know about how sort of devastatingly underfunded the public and community mental health services are. So losing counselling services is also certainly not an insignificant loss. So definitely, you know, more to be done in the immediate term, as well as looking into, you know, keeping the pressure on during that sort of 8-month review period to make sure that we're continuing to make our sort of priority about these community health centres known, and, you know, continue with the demands that all of these community health centres remain open into the next year without interruptions in services and without reductions in services as well. I think, you know, Victorian Socialist certainly has been making the point as to the context of these closures as well. The fact that, you know, GP clinic closures and closing would deprive 12,000 patients of essentially primary care, I think speaks to, you know, the decline and the crisis in the public health system as a whole. So as part of this campaign, it's really important for us not to forget to maintain demands for an expansion of Medicare funding to ensure universal access to bulk billing primary care for everybody, not just those who rely on community health services. Yeah, so lots to still be done, but I think, you know, as you said, it's important to take a moment to congratulate everyone who has, you know, fought so hard and, you know, made, turned this, you know, individual outrage and anger into collective action that were able to pressure the government in such a meaningful way and win such a significant outcome.
Shadi, this is Zane here. Thanks heaps for speaking with us this morning.
No worries at all.
I agree. It's bloody good to see the community get this initial win. But from the sound of it, this is just pushing back the event horizon of closure to mid-next year. What would you say is the root cause of CoHealth announcing that they, you know, can't keep going? Like, how is it really going to be fixed in the long term?
Yeah. So, I mean, complex and simple at the same time. I think fundamentally the root cause is funding. Basically, for the last 3 decades, you know, primary care, but community health in particular, has been underfunded. It used to be that community health centres were a national program. Now, really, it only exists in Victoria, and that's pretty devastating for not just, you know, Victorians, but, you know, people who are across the country. But, you know, fundamentally, the Medicare funding has been stagnant over decades. And so, you know, the bulk billing the rates have fallen catastrophically over a long period of time, despite the fact that, you know, as we know, that preventative and primary care that happens in the community is fundamentally the most, you know, efficient part way of ensuring good health long term. Certainly more efficient than people, you know, presenting to emergency departments with late stage disease. Certainly more efficient than people who now have significant morbidities and have to make use of, you know, more expensive and broader ranging resources. And so, you know, the fight really has to be looking at those upstream causes and the sort of long term deprioritization of primary and preventative healthcare. And fundamentally, you know, free and accessible access for everybody, because, you know, as we know, it's about, you know, 8% of people last year said that they delayed a visit to a GP because of financial concerns, and that's with an acute issue. Certainly people who aren't going to the GP when they're unwell and not going to a GP for preventative healthcare. So, yes, I think a really good point. There's really upstream priorities to focus on, but I think the immediate crisis was so cataclysmic and catastrophic that it really galvanised people into looking at, you know, the state of primary healthcare and the public health system more broadly, and has invigorated a lot of people to get angry and organised, you know, leading to this real big win.
Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of David and Goliath battle to defend CoHealth because you're up against the bulk billing situation. But on the other hand, it's like CoHealth in some ways is like the canary in the coal mine and could be a catalyst for a much broader push to get the bulk billing situation fixed, which is a problem all across the land, and people can't access a GP and then they're having to pay all these like expensive co-payments.
And just the you go.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I really agree. Certainly the immediate demand is always about, you know, co-health, and it's important that these, you know, 12,000 of our most vulnerable people who were in Victoria and having no access to medical care is sort of a crisis that was really not tenable and not acceptable to the broader community, and they made that known. But you know, can't talk about co-health without the broader context of how we got here, and the sort of systemic austerity and underfunding that has been going on for decades.
Yeah, the prospect of losing access to vital healthcare is scary, but what is more frightening is that a decision like that can just be made to shut down health clinics that would affect tens of thousands of people. And the government didn't really seem to care. They weren't going to, they were just going to allow that to happen, and have only really acted because of the community campaign and the pressure on them to stop those closures. Because, I mean, these centres have been let down by the state and federal government for years because they haven't received, well, they haven't been spending what they should have been on them.
I mean, I think you touched on a really important point there as well. The fact that these health services are run by private corporations is a real problem, and certainly something that I think has come out of this campaign. The fact that the boards, which used to be elected and community controlled, have now been put into private hands, and so private, unelected people have been able to make decisions that affect 12,000 people is in and of itself pretty atrocious. I think, prioritising a return for these services to go back into community hands under democratic control, and for them to be sort of nationalised, I think is really important, because, you know, you're right, they're not peripheral services, these are crucial life-saving services, and, you know, people brought that up again and again in the campaign. A lot of members of the community from these areas remember when the AGMs for these centres were held in mass tents out the side of the building with hundreds of community members in attendance, translators, across 10 languages. And so to go from such a immediate memory of democratically controlled primary healthcare to this situation is a real indication of how far the government has let the system, you know, fail. Definitely something that is important to prioritise going forward.
Word. We've probably got to wrap it up, but much respect for this win, and it looks like there's a deep wellspring of outrage in the community, and there's a window now to tap into that and rebuild, like keep the campaign, keep the momentum going, and try and get a more durable win as of the middle of next year. So yeah, bloody good to see, and much respect.
Thanks so much. I will just say, importantly, there is a rally still going ahead this Sunday, the 23rd, in front of CoHealth in Fitzroy. So I think it's, you know, really important for as many people as possible to come to that, to, you know, continue putting pressure on Labor and say, you know, obviously we see this win as, you know, as a very much a win for us, but certainly immediate demand still to be met and a long-term fight to be had. So important to keep the pressure up, keep eyes on Labor, and make sure that they know that we're still across the details and won't just be distracted, by sort of more games. Certainly there's that rally this Sunday, and we're having a public meeting next Friday as well in Fitzroy, Victorian Socialists are, to talk about sort of how we've won the campaign so far, the things that we've been able to achieve with the help of sort of the community activation, but also, you know, what is still to fight for and how we're sort of going to continue forward.
Okay, and where's that public meeting next Friday?
So location yet to be determined, but if people follow Socialists in Healthcare or Victorian Socialists on Instagram, that will be announced in the next coming days.
Yeah, sweet. And what time was the rally at CoHealth Fitzroy on Sunday?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock on Sunday.
Brilliant.
Well, we'll see you there, Shadi, and thank you once again for taking the time out this morning to speak to us and for all your work in continuing the fight to defend community healthcare.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Cheers.
All right. Bye.